In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
And a very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nick from the Most Battered, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Thursday, the 18th of December. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport live from the heart of London. St. Paul's purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with what you cannot afford to lose.
Okay, we're back. I'm talking with Rob Proctor, who's CEO of Audioboom, very popular company amongst private investors and others. You've got some news which you've had recently. Could you just update us on that?
Yeah, we have four major pieces of news go out in the last week, really. So obviously our signing the deal with Amazon Audible, which was a great coup for us, which will see us bringing on pretty much their entire library eventually onto the platform to allow people to listen to that large chunks for free. And then obviously they can move forward and buy that content. And we will make some very, very sizable revenues off the back end of that, which is great. And then our commercial deals with AdLarge in the US, who are the largest independent media sales company and global over here. Plus obviously moving forward with Triton in the US as well, doing some stuff with them as well, which is great on the commercial side. AdLarge actually brought their first campaign on the day we signed, which was great, with Geico, and actually came through this morning with a 24-week order. Which pretty much takes up all of our US inventory for the next 6 months over in the US. So commercial side, great. And then yesterday morning, we put out our year-end trading update, showing that we hit all of our figures, in fact, exceeded most of them as well, including registered users. We were ahead. Our costs are absolutely in line with where Arden projected 6 months ago, which is great, even including kind of our increased burn as we got the new funding in, which is allowing us to accelerate what we're doing. And then we just had a big partner update yesterday as well. So we've got Astro, who are Malaysia's biggest broadcaster, just coming on the platform. We've extended our relationship with Sky, so we have new two permanently embedded dedicated staff inside Sky Sports. We've just brought on Sky News, so there's a whole raft of great content partners coming on the platform.
Right, I just wanted to sort of step back from that. I think Audioboom has obviously been one of the most popular IPOs of the year. A lot of buzz, you know, on the bulletin boards and everywhere else. But I think some people don't actually understand exactly what you do. It sounds like a basic point, but I mean, you're described as a YouTube of what you do. I mean, how would you define what you do?
I think kind of back in the day, and you know, some older articles that have been written out there describing us as the YouTube of audio, which are 3, 4, 5, 6 months out of date at this point. Internally, and certainly for some of our bigger investors, actually our bigger investors are saying to us now, we're more like the Netflix of audio at this point, because we're not a UGC platform. We're all about professional content, but content that's now created for digital. So it's short, it's quick, it's engaging, it's easily shareable, so it will go viral on social. But really, and that's the consumer-facing piece of what we're doing, which is clearly very important. But actually, the commercial model behind what we're doing is very different from the way companies like YouTube or Facebook or Pinterest started. So we've set out from day one to work with the best content partners, and in providing the functionality we do, allow them to run that audio back on their sites. And at that point, we can run the pre-roll and the post-roll and the graphic display advertising on our partners' websites, which means we can monetize literally from day one. So, as I've said, AdLarge are already bringing all of these campaigns.
So, in a way, it's a more efficient model, perhaps, going forward than a YouTube analogy.
It's efficient in its way. I would say from an AIM and a capital markets point of view, it's clearly much more aligned and efficient, because it allows us to get to monetization, break even and profitability much sooner than any social media company. I mean, Facebook was 4, 5, 6 years before it even looked at monetization. Snapchat's now valued at $3, $4, $5 billion. They have no revenue model whatsoever. Clearly, we're on AIM. We don't have the luxury of that. So our model has been developed to allow us to monetize externally on our partners' websites through our aggregated network, whilst keeping the user experience on our own mobile products completely ad-free, so we can grow that user number. Because ultimately, the terminal value of this business is going to be judged on the number of registered users we have on our mobile products. But if we put advertising in there day one, clearly that's a barrier to entry for users. So we're trying to come up with a hybrid model. We think it's a smarter model. And certainly with the commercial partnerships that we're signing, it's one that the market is accepting readily in terms of media planners and buyers. So it's certainly working for us right now.
But when do you think the sort of the sweet spot in terms of what you're trying to achieve will come in? Is it sort of a year away, 2 years away? What's the timeline on that?
Again, it all depends what you're classing the sweet spot. So in terms of revenue generation, that's happening today. And certainly from January forwards, you'll see us really producing revenues through all of our partners, through all of the touch points we have, even into Facebook and Twitter, where we can also run advertising. So all of our partners, for the first time in their history, can monetize all of that social traffic that they're getting. It's not just a brand.
So you're actually helping others.
Well, it's exactly the way the model works. So, you know, people
giving other people their business model in a way, a better business model.
Totally. So, you know, content partners, especially in publishing, that have seen their traditional revenues, let's say through your newspaper or what have you, or magazine publishing, being denuded over time, and they've put their content into digital places such as Facebook and Twitter, but not being able to monetize them, we actually give them that opportunity now. So, and that's the whole idea of the SaaS platform, and that's what we've built from. Now we get into the consumer piece of what we're doing. You know, we've had 500,000 installs of our app in just 3 weeks. So we know the consumer piece is working, and that's going to grow rapidly. Our hope is we get to a point where we go viral on the mobile product, and then, you know, the growth is going to be exponential at that. But to fuel that, or to fuel the pump on that, you know, we have a huge marketing campaign through Q1 that will see us spending upwards of £1 million in the UK, US and Australia. And that's online, offline, ambient, it's in the tubes, it's on air as well with our radio partners. Obviously, we can leverage really good value from on-air radio advertising because we work with all the world's biggest radio stations.
So I should start noticing, you know, as a casual observer, I should start noticing your presence and your offering around the place, let's say, in my journey around the internet and beyond.
Definitely. I mean, if you're a user of, you know, the Guardian Live blog today, you'll see us. You know, if you listen to the Telegraph podcast, you'll see us. You know, if you're on Sky Sports or Sky News, you're going to see us today. But that's, you know, that's an ongoing and a growing process, you know. We only raised our money 2.5 months ago. So, you know, I don't know what the expectation was in the market on how quickly we would spend and how quickly we would grow off of that. But I think given our team of 20 at this point around the world, they've done a hell of a job.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably a point to touch on. I mean, managing expectations is probably the greatest challenge facing any CEO. You don't want to downplay it, you don't want to upplay it. You've got to get it somewhere in a sort of Goldilocks scenario. We've seen the share price, which is obviously not necessarily a good indicator of sentiment or value even. It's gone from sort of, I don't think it was 4p the first time you came on Tip TV, went up to 18 pence at best, I mean, or something like that.
Yeah.
we're somewhere in the middle now. is there a fair value that you would say in terms of the company's value, you know, market cap? How do you sort of see things?
Again, I mean, within an internet sphere, I mean, you could see other companies out there with, you know, a value per user basis, and that's valuing their companies. And that's, you know, anything from $120, $140 at the top end all the way down to, you know, $35 or $40 would be for, you know, the smaller social type platforms. Clearly, you need scale to justify that value per user because it gives you the reach in a media sense. I think we're getting to the point where we have that kind of scale. So I think you could easily attribute a value of $35, $40 a user to us today and not being considered that you're, you know,
So it's a bit of a myth.
Rubbish.
It's a bit of a myth that in the tech area there aren't proper or there aren't sort of steady or reliable gauges of value?
But there absolutely are. I mean, you know, the one thing I was told when we came onto the markets was, you know, that your value is determined by the market, and the market will always give you the fair value. Then that's valuing, you know, Facebook and Twitter and those guys at, you know, tens of billions of dollars. That has a metric on a registered user basis. If you're going to take that as a standard, then you could use that standard to value us. What that metric is, whether it's $30 or $50 or $100, is obviously open to interpretation. Say, given the range that's out there today, if you were to look at us at, you know, $30, $35, $40, I think we are right at the bottom end of that valuation, which reflects our 3.1, 3.2 million registered users. If we looked at monthly active unique users at, you know, 18, 20 million through all of the touch points and people accessing our audio to all of our partners, then, you know, a market cap of 200 or 300 million. But again, you need a realistic expectation, but certainly at $30 to $40, you're within range.
And are you conscious, though, of, you know, the AIM market and private investors are very impatient by nature? Is there a pressure on you to sort of hurry up the process? Is there sort of that sort of thing going on?
The pressure is on us internally, which is why we've developed this model to allow us to monetize off-site, be that in Sky or The Guardian or, you know, NPR or, you know, whoever it might be in the US, Sky News, Fox. If we're running the ads through that distributed network, that allows us to monetize today. And we are certainly moving forward with that, as you can see with the deals that we've already signed. But it does allow us not to have to run advertising on our own mobile product, which means that we can grow users. Therefore, we can get to that point where we can be valued on registered users as well. So I hope we're capturing the best of both worlds. It's not always an easy path to tread. And as you say, you know, there is an expectation on AIM that you move, you know, straight into revenue and straight into profit and all of that, which I get. You know, I've been in digital for 20 years. You know, a good deal of that time, you know, 8-9 years of it in the US for Cox Media and obviously with the guys at YouTube and Google. So I know how to make money from these businesses. Everybody should appreciate that fact at this point. And we've put the systems in place to make money from this business, and we'll achieve that through 15, there's no doubt.
All right, so it's Christmas 2014, Christmas 2015. What was your ideal position at that point?
Ideal position, 5 million registered users, probably 30 million monthly active or so users around all of our touch points, maybe more on the monthly actives, depending on how our new content partnerships move forward, especially in the US. I would see us with revenues at the end of this year, as went out in line with the notes on the trading expectations, we're going to be at the 2.8 million revenue mark. That's certainly what we're shooting for. I see absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that. The deals that we're currently signing media-wise on a run rate certainly put us in that ballpark. So, you know, our analysts are happy with that. Our brokers are happy with that. And we're certainly very happy internally that we're going to hit those figures.
Well, I'm glad you're happy. Rob Proctor, CEO of Audio Boom, thanks for speaking to Tip TV today.
Thank you very much, Zach.
We'll be back after the break.
Hola, it's me, Juan Tip. Follow my tip every day, high conviction on Tip TV.